There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the bill we got? I mean, the bill we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Just 10 minutes before the big national test. You're going to get two of them. You get one on your smartphone, but you're also going to get one here with the radio station, because this is... All the news stories say the unprecedented, it's not unprecedented. National override, presidential override test has been a thing for TV and radio on and off as they built it since 2006. So, I mean, y'all, it's not brand new, it's just on a different platform. All right, grab some calls here, and then I want to get into a presser with Sarah Sanders that ran just a few minutes ago, well, just about 35 minutes ago. Chris is in Orange Beach up first. Hey, Chris.
Hey, Sean, what's happening?
Man, I don't know. You're in Orange Beach. You got it. You got it made, man.
Of course I do. Somebody's got to live here. Anyway, I got a couple of points I want to make about the Kavanaugh appointment.
Okay.
I know you're familiar with the Sunshine Laws.
Yes.
There are exceptions to the Sunshine Law, and that's when you're discussing the good name and character of an individual. You're allowed to go into closed session and behind closed doors. In a civilized society, the public should have never heard the accusations against Kavanaugh, should have gone behind closed doors. Our representatives should have listened to the accusations, investigated, and then made their decision to come out in the public and said, we can confirm this guy or we can't confirm this guy. It should have never been a situation where Judge Kavanaugh can never get past these accusations, because in a civilized world, we should have never heard the allegations. Because if they're not true, they're so damaging that... Even if they're not true, he can never get over them. And that's just not fair to anyone. If it were your father or your brother or your son, you would not, you cannot allow this kind of behavior to go on. And all of the Democrats and all the Republicans know that that's the way this should have been handled from the get-go. Should have been private for Dr. Ford. It should have been private for Brett Kavanaugh. It should have been private for everybody. The second point I'd like to make is I think we're going backwards, not forwards. Understand the Me Too movement. I understand that a woman shouldn't have to put up with anything. And going forward, a woman should not. If there's any criminal activity, she ought to make sure that the guy's prosecuted. But at the same time, if you go back 100 years and a woman said, this black man looked at me wrong, the next morning he'd be hanging from a tree. And there's no difference in that from 100 years ago and what we're doing right now. We're not going forwards, we're going backwards. It doesn't matter if it's black or white or what it is. Accusation is not enough. In this country, you must have the preponderance of real evidence, undisputable, confirmable evidence, and the absence of reasonable doubt. Otherwise, we might as well just hand out clubs and beat each other in the head when we pass on the street.
Well said, Chris. A lynch mob mentality around this. There is, it's happened for, this is just the latest iteration, but it happens for all kind of things. I mean, it's affected both sides of the aisle, and it's a human nature, it's a bad human nature, I think, that needs to be overlooked. And I appreciate you bringing up about Sunshine and how they did this, and they could have gone behind closed doors, because they had meetings behind closed doors, and then to bring this this Q&A out. Because, you know, but Republicans both said, yeah, every president said that Dr. Ford needed to be heard as well. But I agree with you that it probably would have been better to do these things behind. Is it fair of me, my gut sense, without doing some deep thinking on it, is it a sign of political cowardice? In other words, if you go behind closed doors, you find out information one way or another, you make your vote, then you got to answer the constituents and say, well, I heard some things or I didn't hear some things or whatever. If it's out in the open, then you can focus group it, right? You can see what all the people actually say about it, and then you can just do what you hear most people telling you should do. Interesting. Let's go to John next in Spanish Fort. Hey, John.
Hey, Sean, how are you doing? The lone progressive voice in Spanish Fort, checking in with you today.
I still don't think you are. I think you're trying to claim a title that is not entirely yours. But go ahead.
Well, I sure haven't met one, but thanks for the opinion. Okay. Let me ask you a question. Do you think the confirmation process has gotten to the point that Flake, Collins, and Murkowski cannot vote for Kavanaugh?
Good question. And I wondered that, and once again, just like I told Brendan, I have theories, but I don't have the idea of I know what's in people's hearts, because I don't. But this, you know, the Flake coming out Friday and saying, hey, we're going to do this FBI investigation, just seems to me like somebody got cold feet who was a yes vote for confirmation, who wanted some additional political cover to make that yes vote. You see,
in my opinion, I mean, this is giving the red state Democrats their out for this nominee. And I just can't believe, in my opinion, that there's not going to be a speech that says, nominate someone better. I just don't see how Collins and Murkowski can vote for him after this.
But essentially, if the midterms go like many predict, although I think there's some movement here, we'll see. But if the midterms go and hand control to the Democrats, essentially the same outcome. If you don't confirm Kavanaugh now, you could say, bring somebody else up, let's nominate somebody else. It doesn't matter who they are. At that point, they're not going to get confirmed.
That's true, and I want to get this point in quick because I'm about to receive some fake news from my president here, which I never thought I would be able to say.
What are you talking about? You're going to get a FEMA and FCC dictated something that has been on the books in 2006 message and a test. We've done this before.
Voice message from President Trump.
We've done this before. John, let me give you real news. We've done this before. It has nothing to do with who's in the White House. I mean, quit with that. That is inaccurate.
Okay. Now, here's my question real quick, and it could be safe for another day just to put the pill in your head. Have we ever been closer to a possibility split-ticket candidacy that could win in 2020?
Oh, man, who would that be?
Flake Manchin. To take the 30% from the right and the 30% from the left, to turn it into 20% from the right and 20% from the left, and
maybe
finally get the middle.
Yeah, maybe, but I think you're too heady on the percentages you think they would get. I think Manchin is this kind of weird circus sideshow feature of the Democrat Party. You know, Democrats say, "Well, we gotta tolerate him because he's in West Virginia," and you know how those people are. But they really don't like him. And Flake, you can hear. I mean, the Republican opinions about Flake, even in moderate. Yeah, from moderate corners, is not exactly he's their guy. So I don't know if those. You gave me two other names, maybe, but I don't think those two names. Nah, I don't think they have it. All right, coming back, we will get into the. We'll all have our smartphones on. We'll get the test, and then you'll get the test again from radio and television, like has been going on for years. It's nothing new. Everybody, stay calm. All right.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Hey, can y'all hear me over your smartphones? Hey, by the way, Dalton, one of our monitors there. Which was that? The Fox News channel. I guess the cameraman's phone went off, too, because the camera was swaying wildly like there was an earthquake or something there at Fox News, which there wasn't. But they were just, I guess, trying to, camera crew there in the studio is trying to turn it off as it's come through. We've made it through. We've survived here. We've survived. The emergency alert, you got it on your smartphone there? No, you can't opt out of. That's the one you cannot opt out of. And no, it was not a political message. No, it was not mind control. It was a presidential alert. It is not President Trump's alert. It is for anybody who is in the White House. The lawsuit and the vitriol on social media shows how far we've dropped here. What a ridiculous thing. And people, how could they do this to our smartphone? That's my smartphone. Your smartphone transfers its data and voice and text.
This is a test of the National Emergency Alert System. This system was developed by broadcast and cable operators in voluntary cooperation with the Federal Emergency Management Agency, the Federal Communications Commission, and local authorities to keep you informed in the event of an emergency. If this had been an actual emergency, an official message would have followed the tone alert you heard at the start of this message. A similar wireless emergency alert test message has been sent out to all cell phones in the nation. Some cell phones will receive the message, others will not. No action is required.
And so that I said, if you're going to come with an attitude like that, you better bring three more goats. Oh, we're back on. Okay, so we survived that. So there was the radio side. I'm sorry to take all the magic out of it, but, you know, it ran on your cell phones, then it runs on the air because that is how the emergency alert system works. We test it every week. We have monthly tests. You have a weather issue, amber alert, or even the not used yet but potential presidential alert. They're all there. You survived, y'all. It was like, this was like a small version of the Y2K bug. Remember when that was going to wipe us all out? No, what are we going to do? The computers of the Earth will come to a screeching stop. Somehow we made it through it. All right, here, I want to get to a presser that ran last hour here, Sarah Sanders. Dalton's got something. You got breaking news on your phone?
Well, I wanted to pass along one thing I saw online really quickly.
Yeah.
Someone said to reset your passwords after the president interrupts your phone. Which in reality, most people probably do need to reset their password.
But not because of.
But no, the president will not be hacking your phone now that he's left a message.
Are you sure?
How can you be sure?
How can you be sure? It's a conspiracy. How can you be sure? This is all part of mind. No, it's not mind control. I feel fine. I feel just fine. And the president and the government is perfect.
You sound just like the guy that was on the air.
You know, and the fact that he hadn't just cut that ahead of time to take out, that they did it live.
Let's do it live.
Bill O'Reilly. Y'all go Google Bill O'Reilly, do it live. That they did it live instead of just like maybe pre-recording it and stacking it in there and letting that run.
You would think that's what they would have done.
Getting James Earl Jones or somebody to do it.
Yeah, maybe Morgan Freeman.
Yeah.
Come on.
I mean, but they went with that one. And he's like, oh, gosh, I've got this one. Where's a copy? I got to read this one line here.
If you want to get everyone's attention, Gilbert Gottfried, he could have come on.
You would talk about what puts the country in panic would be the voice of the emergency alert system being Gilbert Gottfried. There's nothing wrong. Everything's fine.
Oh, man.
All right. There you go. We survived it. 123. Let's get to it. As much as we can play in this segment here of the presser from this is on into the presser. John Bolton had spoken. Here is Sarah Sanders addressing a list of things, priorities for the president.
On the night President Trump nominated Judge Brett Kavanaugh, Senator Schumer declared the Democrats would oppose this nomination with everything they had. Before a single document was produced, a single meeting with the senator, or a hearing was ever scheduled, Chuck Schumer and the Senate Democrats telegraphed a strategy to throw the kitchen sink at the judge with no regard for the process, decency, or standards. They're not opposed to Judge Kavanaugh's judicial views. They're literally trying to undercut the voice of the American people when they elected Donald Trump. They have questioned his legitimacy and casually tossed around vicious accusations of perjury, all false and baseless, but now they've sunk lower as they spring these 11th hour accusations and a full-scale assault on Judge Kavanaugh's integrity. This is a coordinated smear campaign. No evidence, no independent corroboration, just smears. Here are just a few of the examples. Chuck Schumer said, and I quote, "There's no presumption of innocence or guilt." Chris Coons, who sits on the committee, said Kavanaugh, and I quote, "now bears the burden of disproving these allegations rather than Dr. Ford and Ms. Ramirez." Mazie Hirono, who also sits on the committee, said that Judge Kavanaugh does not deserve the presumption of innocence because of his judicial views. One thing is clear, Democrats want to block Kavanaugh and hold the seat open until the 2020 election. This is about politics, and this is about power. Pure and simple. And they've destroyed Judge Kavanaugh's reputation, undermined Dr. Ford's privacy, and tried to upend our traditions of innocence until proven guilty in the process. It's a complete and total disgrace. We'll receive and submit the FBI's supplemental background investigation on his nomination to the Senate. As Leader McConnell said, Judge Kavanaugh deserves a prompt vote, and we expect him to get one. And with that, I'll take your questions. John.
Sarah, the three people who are most important in this whole process are Senators Murkowski, Collins, and Flake. This morning, two of those senators, Flake and Collins, were extremely upset about how the president described Christine Blasey Ford at that rally in Mississippi. Knowing how sensitive this issue is and how important it would be if the FBI investigation shows no other compelling evidence to keep Judge Kavanaugh from the court, that these people need to be comfortable with voting for him. Why did the president say what he did last night in the way that he said it?
The president was stating the facts, and frankly, facts that were included in Special Prosecutor Rachel Mitchell's report. He was stating facts that were given during Dr. Ford's testimony, and the Senate has to make a decision based on those facts and whether or not they see Judge Kavanaugh to be qualified to hold the position on the Supreme Court. Every single word Judge Kavanaugh has said has been picked apart. Every single word, second by second, of his testimony has been picked apart. Yet if anybody says anything about the accusations that have been thrown against them, that's totally off limits and outrageous. This entire process has been a disgrace, and the only reason that it's been that way is because Senate Democrats didn't do this the way that it should have been done, and they circumvented the entire system. And frankly, they've undermined our entire judicial branch by the way that they've acted and the inappropriateness of which they've conducted themselves.
Pointing out inconsistencies in testimony is one thing, but the tone with which the president did it last night clearly had an effect on two key swing votes for his nomination. Is the president concerned that he may have put those votes in danger by doing what he did last night?
I don't think so. The president's very confident in his nominee, as he stated time and time again, and we expect the Senate to vote, and we hope they do that soon. Zeke.
Two quick questions. First, is the White House sending a response to the reported mailings of Bryson to Pentagon officials and also the president? Has the president been briefed on his investigation? Any updates?
The president's certainly been made aware, but as we stated yesterday, I would refer you to the U.S. Secret Service to respond to those.
Do you have any update on the president's meeting with Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein? That was supposed to be held last week. Is the president still on confidence with him?
Again, we don't have any updates on that front. If there's a meeting, we'll let you know. But at this point, they continue to work together and both show up every day and do their jobs.
Back on Kavanaugh. You said a couple minutes ago you criticized Democrats for undermining Dr. Ford's privacy. And when the president referred to her last name, aren't you there trying to have it both ways by sort of attacking Democrats for doing something that wasn't in your interest? And then the president was out on stage last night essentially mocking her testimony.
Not at all. We're pointing out the hypocrisy. Again, none of this would be taking place if Democrats had done this in a normal order. And not exploited Dr. Ford and attacked Judge Kavanaugh in such a public manner. All of this could have been handled completely differently, and the Senate Democrats hold all of the responsibility for that process. Josh?
The New York Times reported yesterday that the president had engaged in outright tax fraud throughout the 90s with suspect tax schemes and, you know, basically getting more money from his parents than he said, using thousands of documents. You rebutted the story. Can you explain what is inaccurate about that story, if there's anything that is actually inaccurate about it?
It's a totally false attack based on an old recycled news story. I'm not going to sit and go through every single line of a very boring 14,000-word story. The only thing, I will say one thing the article did get right, was that it showed that the president's father actually had a great deal of confidence in him. In fact, the president brought his father into a lot of deals, and they made a lot of money together, so much so that his father went on to say that everything he touched turned to gold. The president's lawyer addressed some of the specific claims and walked through how the allegations of fraud and tax evasion are 100% false and highly defamatory. There was no fraud or tax evasion by anyone. He went on much further, and I would encourage you to read every word of his statement, which completely undercuts the accusations made by the New York Times.
Are the president's taxes still under audit?
I know that a number of his taxes are still under audit.
From the 90s and early 2000s?
I'd have to check and get back to you. Cecilia?
Are you going to provide any of his tax returns?
I'm not aware of any plans to do so. Cecilia?
Thanks, Sarah. It was just a couple of days ago that the president called Christine Blasey Ford a very credible witness, a very credible, very compelling. But now he's basically making her out to be a liar. So which is it?
Certainly, the testimony by Dr. Ford was compelling. But you can't make this decision based on emotion.
All right, we'll get right back to the conversation. Sarah Sanders from just about an hour and change ago, addressing a handful of things. Of course, Kavanaugh at the top of the stack there, but a lot more in this and the New York Times story being addressed as well. We'll get back to it when we return. Also, Rhonda Davis from the USS Alabama is going to join us. Cool event coming up this weekend. We'll talk more about that all straight ahead. It's Midday Mobile. Glad you're here.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. 135 FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile on this Wednesday. Glad you're here. Get back into that presser with Sarah Sanders.
It was just a couple of days ago that the president called Christine Blasey Ford a very credible witness, a very credible, very compelling. But now he's basically making her out to be a liar. So which is it?
Certainly, the testimony by Dr. Ford was compelling, but you can't make this decision based on emotion. It has to be based on fact. They have to determine what the facts are of this case. That's one of the reasons that they asked and begged for the FBI and delayed a hearing vote is so they could get more facts on this case. We expect the FBI to turn those facts over to the Senate, and they can make a determination based on that. That's all we're asking for.
You said that he was stating the facts at that campaign rally, but this was so much more than stating the facts. This was a full-scale campaign rally assault on a woman who says she's a victim of sexual assault. What do you get out of that? Is that to help Kavanaugh's nomination? Is this to rally the base? Is this going to help with the midterms? Like, what's the point in doing that?
Again, I dispute that it wasn't anything other than the president stating facts. In fact, facts that were laid out in the prosecutor's memo that she put forward to the Senate. Each of the things that he called out were things that were laid out in that memo. Sager.
Thanks, Sarah. There's conflicting feelings on Capitol Hill right now over whether the FBI investigation into Judge Kavanaugh should be made public or not. Does the White House commit to transparency on this effort and let the American people see the full reign of this investigation regardless of the findings?
Look, we've been very open and transparent through the process. The president's the one that ordered the FBI investigation to take place and has allowed the Senate to actually control and dictate the terms and scope of the investigation. We're continuing to do that and allowing the FBI to actually do what it is they do best, and that's their jobs, to do this investigation.
Another question for you, if I may, on declassification, since we haven't spoken in a while. The president has said that... The president said that he would refer the declassification process to the DOJ Inspector General, but he wants to see that happen quickly. What does quickly mean? Are we going to see these documents before the midterm elections?
I'm not going to walk through a timeline, but we're continuing to work through that process. And when we have an update on it, we'll certainly let you know. Alex.
Sir, why did you say earlier this year that Michael Cohen was acting on his own in an arbitration proceeding to prevent Stormy Daniels from doing a television interview when the president actually directed that move?
As you know, I'm not going to get into a back and forth. That's an issue for the president's outside counsel. I direct you there to answer it. John?
Yes, sir. Thank you, Sarah. Two brief questions. First, the impact and meaning of the president's comments in Mississippi notwithstanding, it is a fact that Senators Collins, Murkowski, Flake, and Manchin are the undecided votes critical to the nomination. Are there any plans for the president to call any of them between now and next week and make one final pitch? Perhaps explain his remarks a little bit more.
I'm not aware of a specific scheduled call, but we've certainly been in close contact with a number of members, and we'll continue to do so up until the vote. Blake?
I was going to ask, two of the president's early supporters in the House, Collins of New York and Duncan Hunter of California, are running under indictment. There are rules of the National Republican Congressional Committee barring support for members who are under indictment. Does the president still support both of them for re-election?
I can't get into a lot of details, one for Hatch Act violation, but also with an ongoing investigation. I'm not going to be able to comment on that front here.
Yes, Blaine. Sarah, thank you. As this briefing was beginning, Bloomberg put out an article about the FBI background investigation, and Bloomberg is reporting right now that the FBI hasn't interviewed Judge Kavanaugh or Dr. Ford because the White House hasn't given investigators clear authority to do so. Is that indeed the case?
As we've said several times, the president's indicated that whoever the FBI deems necessary to interview, he's fine with that. But he's also asked that the Senate be the ones that determine the scope of what they need in order to make a decision on whether they vote Kavanaugh up or down. I can also tell you that both Kavanaugh, Judge Kavanaugh, and Dr. Ford were questioned in the most public way possible by the members of the Senate, who are ultimately the ones who have to make the determination on whether or not they vote for Judge Kavanaugh. If they had additional questions for either one of them, they had a time and an opportunity certainly to ask those.
Does the White House believe it is appropriate then? Does the White House believe it is appropriate for
again,
these
we're
two?
Allow the I know Senate you say to make the determination of the scope. Aisha. Aisha, go ahead.
Thank you. So President Trump talked a lot yesterday about this issue of being concerned about men being guilty before being thought guilty before proven innocent and this idea of due process. But in the past, with the Central Park Five, mm-hmm. he put out an ad basically calling for the death penalty before they had been found convicted, and even after they were exonerated, he still basically said that they may be guilty. And even as president, he has talked about presided over rallies where people say lock her up, talking about Hillary Clinton. So I guess, is there a disconnect between when the president is interested in due process for some, but not for others?
Not at all. The president actually encouraged the Senate to hear Dr. Ford's testimony in the same way he encouraged them to hear Judge Kavanaugh's. He is simply stating the fact that we are a country of law and order. We are a country that still believes that you're innocent until proven guilty, and we want to see that process go through in its entirety, and it should be on a fair playing field. That's simply the only point.
He's making. He said the Central Park Five was guilty.
Yes.
Does he feel that now?
I'd have to look back at the specific comments. Yeah. Dave.
But that's the real question. In the midst of this, the president has taken this moment.
Sorry, Dave, go ahead.
The president has taken this moment to say that he's been affected personally by all of these allegations, and he's picking and choosing, just as this question was. He said that the Central Park Five was guilty, and then he has made Bill Clinton guilty. Has he decided to change his mind on the Central Park Five as they have been exonerated?
It's interesting that you bring up Bill Clinton. Nobody wants to hear those accusers' voices be heard, but you're certainly happy to hear all the others.
No,
Dave, go ahead.
The president had them at the
I've
debate.
I've addressed this. I don't have anything
had
else
them
to
at
add.
The debate.
Dave, go ahead.
Is he still talking to them?
Sarah, several times in the last week, the president has tried to reassure voters that he'll protect people with pre-existing conditions from losing their health insurance. Is that a sign that he's worried Republicans are losing the argument on health care in this election?
I think it's a sign that the president wants to protect people with pre-existing health conditions. I think it's pretty simple. He said that he supports that, and he wants to make sure that that's not something that gets lost. Jim?
I want to go back to this. I mean, it was pretty obvious that the president was mocking Christine Blasey Ford last night. He said, how did you get home? I don't remember. How did you get there? I don't remember. Where is this place? I don't remember. He seemed to be, to the delight of the crowd there in Mississippi, mocking her repeatedly. Isn't there something wrong with the president of the United States mocking somebody who says she was sexually assaulted?
It seemed to me that he was stating facts that Dr. Ford herself laid out in her testimony. Once again, every single word that Judge Kavanaugh has said has been looked at, examined, picked apart by most of you in this room. But no one is looking at whether or not the accusations made are corroborated, whether or not there's evidence to support them. Every person that she named has come out and said either they didn't recall it or it didn't happen or they weren't there. Every single bit of evidence and facts that we've seen in this moment have supported Judge Kavanaugh's case, and the president simply pointed out the facts of the matter, and that is what the Senate will have to use to determine whether or not they vote to support him or not.
Are you saying Judge Kavanaugh is the victim in all this?
I think both Dr. Ford and Judge Kavanaugh are victims at the hands of the Democrats. I think it is absolutely disgraceful what they've done and exploited this process. They exploited Dr. Ford. They're exploiting all of the women that have come out to make any type of accusation. This isn't the process that should have been done. And certainly everybody deserves to be heard, but that includes Judge Kavanaugh. And that should be part of this process. And the facts have to be looked at. And I think you have to look at the prosecutor's memo. Those are where you see all of those facts laid out. And I think she makes a very compelling case. John, go ahead.
Do you not have any problem defending the
I don't have any problem stating facts, no. John.
Thank you, Sarah. Just five
I know that's something you probably do have a problem with, but I don't.
Actually, sir, we do state the facts, and I think there have been many occasions when you don't state the facts, if I may respond.
John, go ahead.
Thank you, Sarah. Just 5 days ago on Friday, the president, when asked about Dr. Ford's testimony before the Senate, said that she was a very credible witness, and we saw a different tone, different substance last night in those remarks to that campaign rally audience in Mississippi. Why the change in tone? And does the president still believe what he said on Friday, that she was a very credible witness?
I've addressed this a number of times. The president also said she had a very compelling story, and nobody disagrees with that. Nobody disagrees with that, but the president simply stating the facts that she laid out in her own testimony and that the prosecutor laid out in her memo. At the end of the day, the Senate has to make a decision on where they stand.
Does the president still believe that Dr. Ford's testimony was credible when she testified under oath?
The president believes that Judge Kavanaugh should be confirmed. He has a lot of confidence in him, and he'd like to see a vote to see that happen.
I have a couple questions. President Trump has seemed to link the credibility of a claim with how much time has passed since the individual made it. President Trump has also called the sex abuse scandal in the Catholic Church very sad, but many of those victims waited decades before coming forward. Why does the president seem to assume men who are claiming abuse but wait to come forward are telling the truth, but not women?
That's just completely untrue. The president has supported again throughout this entire process Dr. Ford's ability to come forward and tell her story. He's the one that ordered the FBI to do a supplemental background check to look into each of the accusations and allegations that the Senate deems necessary before making a vote. He's also been more than happy to give a platform to the accusers that have come out against then-President Bill Clinton. To say that he's never sided with women is just ridiculous.
No, he has implied that they're coming out of the woodwork all of a sudden and cited that as a reason why, even though he has called for an investigation.
He's saying that because after Judge Kavanaugh has been in public service and in the public eye for over 26 years, been through six backgrounds investigation, now part of a seventh, that this is the first time you're ever hearing of any of these allegations. The fact that through all of those background checks, not even an inkling of any of those things has ever come up, despite the fact he was one of the top prosecutors for Ken Starr and in a major public position, none of these things came up. When he was nominated to be on the federal bench, none of these things came up. He has been a public figure, and there's been a lot of opportunity for people to raise this issue, and it never has. And now, at the 11th hour, the Democrats have exploited this process and done so publicly, and it's a shame, and he's simply calling that out. Thanks so much, guys. We'll see you soon.
Do you remember the old kung fu movies where you'd have the kung fu hero be surrounded by the ne'er-do-wells, and one by one, Kung Fu Master would take them all out? Sarah Sanders. Wow. How'd you like to have her gig? Not me. I'm coming right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Okay, which one? Which one is the press? Which one is Sarah Sanders? Just go to the cut. Okay, go to the cut. Roll two here.
My
heard Shaolin in there. Yeah, and that's what, that's when, that, that is when Sarah Sanders breaks out the nunchucks. All right, 154 FM Talk, 106.5, and Midday Mobile. I mean, wow. What must be the stress to have the gig? Sarah Sanders does. And I love, I do love the fact, too, that now everybody's done what, yeah, I'll plant a flag, that I was doing early on. They just refer to her as Sarah Sanders. And it's not normal to refer to everybody's maiden name. I mean, we get it. We know who her dad is. Then move on. She's her own person. I mean, well, whether you agree with the political angle or not, Sarah Sanders, I mean, just taking on all comers. That was for sure. I'm looking at the text line. A lot of John says, I love Sarah Sanders. Terry, that's a good point. Sounds like the press is more interested in making statements and getting information. There's a lot of that goes on, of course. Sarah Sanders is dynamite. Is that dynamite or dynamite? She can answer questions about Kavanaugh better than Kavanaugh can answer them himself. I would agree. Matt, good point. Matt says, how would you like to be married to her? You would never have a chance in any discussion. I love her. She's smart and tough. Yeah. But, I mean, how many days can you do that? I think Donald Trump, I think President Trump, he, strange, like, gets off on it, right? I mean, he loves he mixes it up and loves all the friction and the back and forth. Even, like, I don't think he can let it be. This is one of the many things I'll point out that I think are flaws. Like, he can't let something be. He can't walk away from something. Like, you've won. You've made the sale. Walk away. He can't do that. Because he has, personality-wise, he can't do it. I guess Sarah Sanders is like that. That you would line up and know that, oh my gosh, I got to go back out there today and do the same thing all over again. It's not like you had a tough day and then the next time they'd say, well, you know, you really made some good points. It's not like the members of the press are going to say, and they shouldn't. Once again, this is why nobody likes me, right? Because I think Sarah Sanders is fantastic. Also, the press has a job. The press is not there to lob softballs. Now, are they asking, are they making statements to be able to get a sound clip of themselves, like John pointed out earlier? Yeah, they are. You're right. But there also are valid questions coming out of the press, whether you like them or not. The press's job is to ask those questions. But do you ever think there'd be the day, though, where they'd come back and say, well, you know, you bested us yesterday. Yep. Yeah, right. We're going to, you know, you were right. And when do you think that when they say that Sarah Sanders is completely wrong on something, that the next day they'd say, you know what, we went back and we did some checking and, you know, in fact, Sarah, you're right on that. Things that will not happen. All right. Hey, by the way, too, heads up, this show, Midday Mobile, on the road this week. A lot of fun. I'd love to get out and see folks. And I'm coming to see you in Theodore. We're going to LCM Motor Cars to go see David and Larry, the whole gang at LCM. And they've got the inventory of vehicles, a robust inventory of vehicles, trucks and cars and SUVs. Sometimes they have boats and campers, all kind of cool stuff on the lot. Plus, it's really cool how they can find. You can kind of say, hey, I want to buy this kind of vehicle. What do you have for financing? They can show you a bunch of choices. We're going to be there with that going on, but I'm also bringing my inventory from the folks over at Jersey Mike's on Dolphin Street of sandwiches plus FM Talk 106.5 goodies. This is Friday from noon to 2. So this show, Midday Mobile, live from LCM. So come out and see us. So if you've been in the Theodore area and not been able to get out to one of our events in the past, this is your chance to get there. Come by and see us anytime between noon and 2 on Friday at LCM. Just about 2 miles south. I know they say west. I say south on Highway 90 from the interstate. So we'll see you there. All right, we'll do this all again tomorrow morning, bright and early for Mobile Mornings. Feinbaum is on the way next. Where it's never contentious either. All right, y'all have a great one. Yeah. Oh, go, Sarah. Go, Sarah. Go, Sarah. Go, Sarah.